Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. YouTube feed is 94. WIP, check it out there. Hope everyone had a great 4th of July weekend. I did, though the power was out from about 9:30 Saturday until about 9:30 Sunday. So that was not comfortable. But for the most part, great weekend. And obviously still excited about the Sixers landing Jaylen Brown and putting together a basketball team and a potential contender that none of us really saw coming a week ago. But now you start to get greedy. And now you start to think, well, why not finish it? And why not get LeBron James? And according to all the reports, the Sixers are still in the mix for LeBron James. We'll see how long this courtship goes with teams trying to pitch themselves to LeBron. You know, you would probably still say the Cavaliers going home one last time. The Miami Heat, familiarity. The Warriors, Steph Curry, are the biggest impediments of the Sixers landing LeBron James. But when you see teams like the Timberwolves involved, the Sixers certainly stand a chance and a legitimate chance to put together the right kind of team here that LeBron James would choose and want to play for. So I was thinking today, like, what the Sixers pitch could be to LeBron James. How do you sell LeBron James on coming to your basketball team? What is the pitch at this stage of his career? Because let's just be real. LeBron James runs the league. He's run the league with Rich Paul for years. This isn't about, you know, you have to convince LeBron James beyond just the obvious, because the obvious is the obvious, you know, city, money, cap space, plan, you know, roster viability. That stuff is so obvious that anyone, you know, with a brain could look it up. And LeBron has intimate knowledge because of Rich Paul and because of who he is and his career. And so he's got a working knowledge probably of all these teams. But then he also has, you know, the ability at his disposal to talk through with Rich Paul what the team has, their resources available, how they could get better, the landscape of the team, of the franchise, of the ownership, of Bob Myers, of Mike Gansey. So that's the obvious. The state of the Sixers is not going to be hard for LeBron James to ascertain pretty quickly, whether it be a virtual meeting or in-person meeting. What is interesting to me is beyond that. What is the pitch? How do you get LeBron James to really consider Philadelphia? And I think we start here. So if you listen to that podcast that was a couple days ago, you might have seen a clip of it. It was Max Kellerman and Rich Paul, and they were going over the pros and cons of different places for LeBron James. And on the list was the Sixers. And they really were going over the pros more than the cons. They weren't going to publicly do the cons, but they were going over the pros. And, you know, so that caught everyone's attention because they saw him at the Sixers. And there's pros like Tyrese Maxey and Edgecombe and Jalen Brown and all that kind of stuff, right? But one of the things that caught my attention was how he spoke about the New York Knicks. And Rich Paul said, there's no question that if the Knicks hadn't won the championship, that's where LeBron James would go. And it makes you think, like, all right, why? Why? What is it about the Knicks that if the Spurs had beaten them, that LeBron would have wanted to go there? And you could make the case it's for big city, which is fair, but then he could go to the Nets. He can go to the Clippers, right? He could go to a big city team if he really, really wants to go to a big city team. He's played in small markets, Cleveland. He's played in big markets, huge market, LA. He's played in Miami. What would be the lure of the Knicks? Well, I don't think it's so much the big city because he's done that. He could also go to Boston if he wants. Right? Like, we're not hearing that. Okay, so let's rule that out. Is it history? Is it history as it pertains to his legacy? And I think that's where there's an angle here the Sixers should try to pursue. My guess on the Knicks is, you know, at this stage of LeBron's career, he's done everything. But, you know, you kind of look for, as your career goes on, different little things, boxes you could check. And it kind of reminds me of when Theo Epstein was, you know, ran the Boston Red Sox and broke the curse there. And he's like, well, what is there left to do? I'll go to Chicago. I'll go to the Cubs. I'll break an even bigger curse. And I'll go win there. So for LeBron James, my guess is what Rich Paul meant was they had it won in 50 years. This historic franchise that had not won a championship in 50 years, I'll go help them win. Well, they don't need him to win. They won without it. So what would be the next best thing? Like if you go canvas the NBA, think about the long-term classic franchises. Who hasn't won in a long time? Or you have the Knicks who just won. The Celtics win all the time. LeBron's been a Laker. You know, you go to the kind of the classic NBA franchise that's been around a long time. And you start thinking about their history and what they've done. And the Sixers, by my collection, by my math, are in one of the longest droughts in pro sports, but certainly in the NBA, for a franchise that has some status to it. I'm not talking about the Hornets. I'm not talking about the Wizards. I'm talking about, you know, franchises with status. The Bulls, who became a status franchise with Michael Jordan. The Knicks. The Lakers. The Celtics. Right, the big ones. The big ones that get everyone's attention very quickly. Not expansion franchise in the last 30 years. Not the Timberwolves. You know, the Timberwolves' first franchise is cool. The Sixers are a different kind of level of NBA history. So when you factor that in, that in my mind, if I'm in the room, if I'm in the marketing, if I'm in that room with Bob Myers before they sit down with them, I'm like, all right, Bob's like, all right, how should we approach this? What's everyone's best idea to how to grab this guy's attention and get him to say yes? I would say you bookmark and you end your career by going to a sports crave city that has seen nothing but disappointment with basketball for 2 decades and nothing but ultimate disappointment for 4 decades. You're the new Moses Malone. You come in and you finish the job. You're the missing piece. You're the old head that puts him over the top. That would be my pitch. You helped Cleveland get theirs. You helped the Lakers stabilize again. You helped Miami become a dynasty and an Eastern Conference dynasty with 4 straight Eastern Conference championships. You're your basketball PhD with Pat Riley. And then you get to close your career in the city of brotherly love in Philadelphia in a crazed sports market that hasn't won in 40 years. That's number one.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The second part of the pitch would be about basketball IQ. Come play with a team with a very high basketball IQ. Maxey's got one. Edgecombe's got one. Brown's got one. Embiid, now doesn't always show it because he sulks, but has it. Come play with a high basketball IQ team. And you be the lead brain on that team. Maxey can be the lead dog. You don't have to run the show every night. But when you want to, you can place a point. And you could play with a team that will play off of your mind. You know those moments in LeBron's career where he's ready to pass the ball and the guy's ready to shoot it. They think about Ray Allen back in the day and how well he worked out for the Miami Heat when he went down there. Guys that will be in the right spot where you think they will be. You could run the break with these kids. Like, imagine running the break with VJ Edgecombe. It will be basketball heaven for you. You settle in to being the four. When Karl Malone went to the Lakers, you could settle in, be the four on the Sixers, just like Karl Malone went to the Lakers. And it's a team of stars, and you're there, and you're the Karl Malone. But you have more skill than Karl Malone did. So I would pitch him number one on the city, on the drought, on history, on how it impacted his legacy. I would pitch him on the basketball team that they've assembled here, the high IQ, smart basketball team they're putting together here in Philadelphia. I would pitch him on the brain power throughout the organization. Nick Nurse is a very flexible coach who has won a million different places. I think the two of them could speak basketball on a different level. You know, Nick Nurse is a basketball junkie. He went to England to coach for years, bounced around team to team and winning championships in the England League. The guy just like eats, sleeps, and breathes basketball. Wouldn't surprise me all if Nick Nurse ends his career coaching at a small college basketball. Could be Division III, not for money, because he coaches basketball. That's what Nick Nurse does. That wouldn't surprise me at all. And then you go to, you know, the idea of up top, Mike Gansey, a guy that, you know, there's a picture floating around the internet through Mike Gansey's brother where Gansey's kind of got his arm on LeBron's shoulder. It's an Ohio high school all-star team. And Mike Gansey and LeBron at the same time are on that team. And they were peers. And obviously LeBron was the better player, but Mike Gansey was a good basketball player too in his day. High school all-star in the state of Ohio, and then went on to a nice career at West Virginia and a great career in all these front offices. Now here in, obviously, Philadelphia and running the Sixers. You pitch them on the connection that there's a symbiotic, everyone's kind of rowing in the same direction thinking. Nick Nurse, Mike Gansey, and then Bob Myers. Talk about legacy. You talk about two guys that could sit down and talk about a lot of different things. And that's Bob Myers. Bob Myers, a former agent, an executive that helped build the teams that beat LeBron a lot in the NBA Finals in Golden State, but also a team that LeBron took down. Even though Golden State had the 3-1 lead in 2016, one of the great NBA Finals of all time. And the comeback, and LeBron, and the block, and one of the great, to me, the signature play of LeBron James's career is the block in Game 7. In the chase down, and the play that everyone just said, oh my God, he reached the ceiling. Oh my gosh, that's it. Oh my gosh, that's the play we'll talk about for 20 years. And it's already been a decade, and I'm talking about it right now. Because that's the play. And Bob Myers in the building for that one. So there's a connection all these people have to each other with, through basketball IQ, through basketball junkies, through the history of the game, through their careers. They're all kind of weirdly intertwined. And the other thing I think, and again, I don't know, I'm not sure if you put this in a pitch, but it's in the back of my head while I'm giving the pitch. All of these spots feel imperfect. They all feel imperfect. You know, when you think back to LeBron's career, they all kind of felt like it made sense. You know, obviously being drafted by Cleveland, the hometown kid, Akron, Ohio, amazing. Miami as the team that cleared the cap space. Wade was already there. Pat Riley and LeBron kind of spreading his wings and leaving home in the decision to go to like basketball finishing camp with Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra. Made sense when you really think about it. Then going home, let's finish the job. Right, I was here, I left, I'm coming home, and I'm going to deliver a championship to Cleveland. And he did it. And then the LA thing, you know, I'm big, I'm rich, I'm famous, I'm a billionaire, I'll own a team one day, Hollywood, the Lakers are down. It made sense. It made sense to join a team like that. And now this time, you think about the teams that are in the mix. LeBron James, the Timberwolves, it feels like a video game thing. It doesn't feel real. The Warriors make a lot of sense, but that's Steph Curry's team. They have a real A-Rod on the Yankees vibes. It's not your team. And the Wade thing, it wasn't his, you know, the Heat were Wade's team, but Bosch and LeBron went together. So it was like the three of them were teaming up. And as much as it was Wade's team, the Heat are Riley's team and Spoelstra's team. And they made that clear when he got there. And the other thing that was clear to anyone with eyes was LeBron was the better player. So like we could say these things. We could say, well, it's Wade's team. Wonderful. The better player was LeBron James by a mile. You know, at this stage of his career, Curry and LeBron are pretty even. They're both still really high-level players. Neither are the player they used to be. And the idea of it. You know, you go in there and it's not your team and you're not the best player. It's kind of awkward and a little bit weird when you think about it. So the Warriors have some weirdness to them. The Cavs thing, he already went home. So what would this be? Just to go home again? Like, he already did it. He went home and he won there. So I'm not sure the appeal of Cleveland again. Also, James Harden's there with a weird fit. Miami, been there, done that. The fit basketball's a little weird because you have Bam and you have Giannis. So I look at all the spots, none of them make perfect sense. You know, the Spurs would have been a nice story, but they went and signed Tobias Harris, which is preposterous. You kind of start thinking through these potential options. The Nuggets is a beautiful basketball fit with him and Jokic, but can I see LeBron James in that jersey ending his career in the Mile High City? Is that viable? You know, I don't know. Does his family, does he want to live in Colorado for a year? I have no idea. That's a weird one. Minnesota and Denver just feel weird. Cleveland, I guess he just wants to go home one more time. Okay. But it doesn't have the same bite. Miami, same thing. Golden State's the most interesting and unique, and the Curry thing, and they can finally play together. I kind of see it for what it is to an extent. But the Sixers check a lot of boxes. There's no tie, but there are ties. It's a perfect basketball experience. They haven't won in a long time. It works. It should be how this ends for LeBron James. That'd be my pitch. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Our YouTube feed is 94WIP. Check it out there. We got a lot to talk about on the Midday Show, obviously. LeBron James, the Sixers, do you want him? I of course I do, and I'll be pitching for him all day. We'll get to the Phillies with the All-Star announcements. Phillies lost yesterday. They'll play the finale today, Kansas City. 2:10 first pitch will lead you to the game on the Midday Show. So a lot to talk about. Don't forget, check out the newsletter, joe-gilio-beehiv.com. Totally free to sign up and get a newsletter into your email every day. Thank you so much for listening to WIP Daily.